This is Matt Dambro. The date is June 7th, 1974. The time is 3 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. William D. Coulard of Saginaw, Michigan. The topics to be discussed are early Saginaw history, the Tittabawassee River Boom Company, and lumbering.
Fine.
When did you come to Saginaw?
Huh?
When did you come to Saginaw?
When did I come to Saginaw?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the years, but I was 6 years old.
You were 6 years old then?
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Did your whole family come down here? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you come from?
Canada. Quebec.
Quebec.
Chaudière.
Oh, French.
You know what Chaudière is?
No, I don't.
No, it's a summer, an English summer resort.
Oh.
On Lake St. Louis.
Is it near Montreal?
Yeah, 16 miles.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
When you came to Saginaw, where did you live?
Where'd we live?
Yeah.
Well, I was pretty young. Now, let me see. We lived down, my father was working for the Pearson. And Pearson had a lot of three-room houses for his workers in the sawmill. Down on Niagara Street.
Oh.
Near Genesee. And there it was a slab road with little houses on both sides.
I'll be darned. What do you mean, a slab road? Was it a wooden road?
Yeah. Well, you know, the slabs, you know, from edging the lumber. You
oh.
don't know what slabs are, do you?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. When they saw a log with a circular saw, it leaves both edges, you know.
Yeah.
Rough. Well, then they had a machine that they run this board through with two saws. And they took that edge off and made a certain size. If this guy that run this machine in the sawmill, they called him an edger. And if he's going to make a 10-inch, 12-inch, 14-inch, he'd sprung these saws and then this board goes through and takes the edges. You got a nice clean board. That's what you call an edger.
Did you ever work in a sawmill?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked 1 year in the last year. I checked the lumber went across the trimmer.
How old were you when you did that?
Oh, I'll tell you something, dear. You're asking me questions there that I never paid any attention.
You're still a young man, though, when you did it.
Huh?
You were still in your 20s then when you did it, huh? Real young
no.
man?
No.
No?
Oh, yes. I was in my 20s.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, that's all that's necessary. Mm-hmm. Did you work on the river?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, but all my family did.
Oh, what river? Around here someplace?
Saginaw River.
Oh.
And the Shiawassee. And the Tittabawassee.
Working on the boom companies?
Yeah.
How
the
did...
Boom company. You see, my folks, from here to Canada, they were all pilots, my uncles.
Oh.
In Canada, they were all pilots. My dad worked for the McCartys of England.
Oh.
At that time, it was square timber. See, they're building wooden ships.
Yeah, yeah.
So that when, right after the Civil War, my uncles all migrated over here to Saginaw.
Oh.
And they got first-class jobs with the Boom Company. Boom Company was just starting then.
Oh.
They had the best jobs there was.
Gee.
And
they worked as pilots on the river? On the Saginaw River?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that must have been
a... Handle logs.
Oof. That must have been a dangerous job working on... must have been a dangerous job, no?
I'm going to tell you something.
What?
There ain't another river in the United States that's done what the Saginaw, Timitawasee, and Shiawassee River done.
Oh.
I know, I've lived them. Might as well say I've been on the Saginaw River ever since I've been 6 years old.
Mm.
I never done any work on the river, you know. Only the last years that they run, I got a permit from the Navy to salvage boom stuff, you see, anything on the river.
Oh.
It was a dangerous job, but I had it all figured out good. And in the spring of the year, you know, these lumbermen and sawmills and everything else, half of that stuff would get away.
Yeah.
Well, I had a place down here. I trapped it, caught it. The Navy gave me the permit to do it.
Uh-huh.
And that would, when the water went down in the spring, I had a place, a gap there. This stuff lay down there, and the men that owned it, they come and claimed it. I charged them so much. If they wanted to pay it, all right. If they didn't, they didn't get it.
Yay. That was a pretty good deal.
Huh?
That was a pretty good business for you then.
It was. I done that, you know, when the water was way up. When 1904, that was the highest water that Saginaw ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot higher than it is now then?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I thought the river had been going up because of the lakes going up, but it was higher then, huh?
Jeez. Yeah, but you take the Shiawassee and the Timitawasee. You know where they drained from?
No.
No, I guess not. Way up around Mullet Lake.
That far?
And they drain all that country there. Jeez. There's molasses, the tobacco, and all them little rivers all dump into the Shiawassee and Timitawasee. The Timitawasee way up there, the molasses and the tobacco, used to be the breeding ground for sturgeon.
Sturgeon, too.
Sturgeon. So every little while, some fisherman gets a hold of a big sturgeon up there.
No, there haven't been too many. I haven't heard of anybody getting a sturgeon out of the Saginaw River lately.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah, it used to be. Why, the last year that I had my houseboat, I caught two muskellunge. One weighed 16 pounds, the other one weighed 17. You take muskies and stuff like that, they're like a human being.
Really?
They mate. See, that. And blow a hell of a northeast wind, and you take the Saginaw River here is only feet lower than the bottom of the bay. You take a northeaster and you can see that goddamn water backing up. Yeah. Well, these two buskies must have got out looking, snooping around, you know, and got lost. And they came up there where I was, and I caught them.
Well, you must have had quite a fight when you caught them, though.
Huh?
You must have had quite a fight on your hands when you caught them.
No. They caught them with a net.
Oh.
A dry net.
Oh. What kind of net is that?
Well, it's hard to explain. It's illegal.
Oh, well.
It's illegal. It's a three-part net. And you drive the fish in, you know, from behind.
Oh.
Scare them in, they get in there, then they pocket themselves.
Oh.
And they can stay there all day and don't bother them. Only they can't swim, them, can't get away.
Oh.
No.
So you had a houseboat in the river?
Yeah.
How long did you have a houseboat? You actually lived right on the river?
Sure.
She.
15 years I had it.
Wow. Where'd you usually have it tied up?
Huh?
Where'd you usually have your houseboat tied up?
Up there?
Yeah.
Stake it out.
Huh.
I'd go in the woods and get me some stakes and drive them and hold it, leave it there. And I was in the marsh.
Yeah.
The Shiawassee Marsh is the cleanest. Was the clearest and the nicest swamp in the whole damn United States. Damn few that knew it.
Oh.
There wasn't a drop of stagnant water because the drop from here to Bay City just kept it up like that.
Yeah.
If it got down a little low, 3 or 4 days, and you'd get to the northeast, she'd raise up a little bit and clean it out.
Okay.
Mosquitoes up there. A mosquito would bite you and it wouldn't poison you. We'd itch a couple of times, that's all there was to it.
Okay. I wish mosquitoes were like that now.
Oh, gee. Up there, you know, the mosquitoes. Right, some of them are ditch logs.
Oh, boy.
And cow frogs. You ever see cow frogs?
No, I haven't.
Hell, you've never seen nothing.
No, No.
Well, you've seen a frog, haven't
you?
Oh,
yeah.
Huh?
Is it like a big bullfrog?
Yeah, a bullfrog.
Oh, bullfrogs. Yeah, I've seen the real big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to catch them when I was a kid over at Dyendoffer Woods.
Uh-huh. Well, in the fall of the year, up there when they get ready to hibernate for winter, I used to go after them. And I had an open market for them. I used to get $1, $1.25 a piece for them.
Ooh.
And I used to sell, probably 50 pounds. In the fall.
How big would they be? Pound,
well,
pound and a half?
Well, some of them would be 18, 20 inches.
Wow. Those are a lot bigger frogs than I ever caught.
Huh?
Those are a lot bigger frogs than I ever caught.
Oh, cow frogs. I've had cow frogs that would, well, it would be that long.
Dude, that's almost 2 feet long.
Yeah. Well, they make a meal.
Yeah?
One frog makes a meal.
Because
I used to sell them to the Bancroft.
The Bancroft?
The Bancroft.
That
and they used to give me $1 for just the legs, just the back legs. And if they, the whole body, I got $1.25.
Gee.
So you can see.
They must have cost a lot if you bought them at the Bancroft. Then.
Huh?
It must have cost a lot of money to eat at the Bancroft if they could afford to pay $1 a frog.
Yeah. The rarity, you know. Oh, boy. Yep. And with me, they were just common.
And you catch 50 pounds of those a year? Just in the fall to sell? And you'd catch 50 pounds of them in the fall of the year to sell, huh?
Yeah.
How would you catch them? You just chase them down?
No, they come themselves. You take the cow frogs a certain day in October when they go down to the bottom of the creek. And they dig in there for winter. See? And then they congregate in certain places where they're going to go down.
Oh.
Even a frog without a brain or anything, I tell you, when God created all these things, He's given each and an individual a certain amount of knowledge. That's the way I figured it, because everything works that way.
Yeah.
Even the worms, even the night crawlers. You see night crawlers, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I used to catch them.
You ever see a mate?
Yep.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
See? Everything has its way.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody that don't believe in creation is a damn fool.
Yeah.
Now, what else do you want to know?
What was Saginaw like, you know, when you were growing up? I heard it was a really wild town with lumberjacks and some about 250
right.
saloons in this town.
Well, I lived right down here, and I was 10 years old then.
Yeah.
Niagara Street runs way up to the other end of town.
Yeah.
And all that was out there from Bristol Bridge clean up the other end of, and there was 10 or 15 saloons, a half a dozen house of prostitution. There were open houses then,
yeah.
Public, running free. And, Niagara Street was the main street, if I could say. And, see, Niagara, the sawmills and the stuff like that, you know, was all on the river.
Yeah.
Oh, Mills Hill. It was by the 100.
Mm.
Anything else?
Well, it must have been quite an expensive town then, with all the money in it from all the lumber. I heard that the Bancroft Hotel was really an expensive place to stay then.
It was. That's all they had in Saginaw. That was over there.
Yeah.
And the west side was more, and the rest of the place was more business. You see, and it was always a fight with the west side and the east side.
Still got that.
And it's still the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bancroft was quite a hotel.
Did you ever stay in it, or?
No, no, I never had no occasion for it. Never had no occasion for it.
So, what did you do after, after the lumber stopped coming down the Tittabawassee? Did you go into another line of work?
You had to.
Yeah.
Med.
When the pine lumber run out, we had that. That's the time of the big panic. See, it caused that big panic. There was no work. That's when they, then, just like that, the goddamn automobile industry come in.
Oh, really? Right after the lumber stuff? What, all the sawmills closed?
Yeah. The last year, that was the end of the pine lumber, was sold. Some of the mills run for a year or so after that. But that was the end of the sawmills. That's why there was no work, there was none to do, and by God, you know, people weren't hungry. And the farmers, there was a hell of a lot of little farmers, 10, 20, 30 acres. Today you can't find one.
Yeah.
The big guys have got them all eat up.
Yeah. So what did you do? What kind of work did you go into after?
Huh?
What kind of work did you go into after that? After all the mills closed.
Brandon Harden had a grist mill right there at the Mackinac, right there at the bridge. And they turned the grist mill into a roller mill. Mm. They built a big mill there in 1882, a big flour mill, 200 barrel capacity. And then they had, there was a lot of salt works left, you see.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Harden had one salt work with their exhaust steam. D. Harding, just the next corner, that was a planing mill. They had a lot of exhaust steam and they had a salt work. And then just a block up above was old man Cull. He had a pan salt work. Well, my dad got a hold of the whole three of them.
Oh.
Run them, you see, yeah. Took care of them. And when I started, you know what we had to work for?
What?
15 cents an hour. Dollar and a half a day. Dollar and a quarter. I was damn glad to get it.
10-hour day?
Yeah. Yeah. So I worked for my dad. My dad paid us. He paid us boys. It was two boys there. He paid us a dollar and a half a day and our board. The board and lodging. So we was lucky.
Yeah.
Well, I kept that up. Then from there, I monkeyed between the salt works and the flour mill. I put in a few years, and then I went in the machine shop. I learned the machinist trade.
Oh. What machine shop did you start at?
Huh?
What machine shop did you learn the trade at?
Jackson and Church.
Oh.
And I had done, not Jackson and Church, it was Jackson.
Oh.
John L. Jackson. No, Thomas Jackson. It was the old man.
Mm.
I learned there, monkeying around there for a year or two. And then Fred Helfrich was another one student. He wanted to start a machine shop. And he asked me to help him. So I did. And I worked 13 years for him.
Wow.
Built that plant. I worked 13 years and the coal company was consolidating. They made me a good offer, and I went with them. from their machine shop, and I was assistant superintendent.
At a coal company?
Yeah.
Where was that?
South Saginaw. And I worked till we closed up with a coal company.
You worked all over then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked for the, I even took care of the Consumer Power when they first started.
Wow.
I took care of their bit of their electrical and stuff like that.
Where were they first set up in Saginaw?
Flint.
They were in Flint?
Right in Flint. When I went when General Motors today started in Flint, you know what there was there?
No.
There was a hotel, an opera house, and a blacksmith shop.
That's all Flint was?
That's all there was in Flint.
Hey.
An interurban railroad used to run then, you know. I went through there. If you wanted to go to Flint, you had to take the interurban railroad, electric.
An electric railroad from Saginaw to Flint? I didn't
know.
I didn't know they had an electric railroad from Saginaw to Flint.
Oh, hell yes.
How long did that run?
Oh, cripes, that's years ago. Long before you was ever thought of.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
I have to...